Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Mateusz. I work at Red Hat as a principal software engineer in the Kubernetes bare metal networking team. So yeah, as the title of the talk says, we'll be talking about bare metal networking. And I wanted this talk to be somehow a gentle intro into what you need to think about when you want to start doing Kubernetes on bare metal, but the things that Kubernetes doesn't tell you you should care about. So we'll see in a moment what that means, but yeah. I work at Red Hat, I already said this. I'm based in Switzerland. When I'm not doing computers, I'm doing farming. I actually like it much, much better, but it doesn't pay the bills, so I need to do the stuff that I'm going to tell you about here. Well, it is what it is. I don't do AI as opposed to, you know, all the hype and all this kind of stuff, so yeah, I'm not really on the hype wave. Bare metal was never really hyped, so, well, what can I say? Some intro why we may even think about doing containers or bare metal. Like, you know, no one ever told us to do so, so what the heck is, you know, is the deal? So HPC and, yeah, AI. This slide predates the AI hype, so sorry for this. I could have removed it. But long story short, there are some workloads which really want to benefit from running on bare metal. You may have some fancy GPU from, let's not name the company, or some network adapter, which is, you know, something that you really want to have access to the hardware directly, or the other side of the scale, something that you run and is critical to any part of the infrastructure that you already have. Like, for example, network equipment. You don't want to run a router of your own data center as an instance in AWS, right? That would be somehow, yeah, we shouldn't do this this way. Or something which is almost forgotten, and you know, then people call me and put this use case, benchmarking. How do you benchmark hardware, CPUs, and this kind of stuff if not by running workload directly on this hardware? Again, you don't want to create 50 VMs on some CPU only to get the benchmark of this CPU performance. That would be chicken egg. Let's not do this. So now fast forward. We agree that we want to do Kubernetes, and we agree that we want to do this on bare metal. So we go to Kubernetes dot something, I don't know what that is today. We go to the, you know, FAQ, installing a cluster, and we start reading. What do I need to do to install a cluster? Is there any tooling that would help me installing this cluster? And the very first page you see is this, installing Kubernetes with deployment tools. And they tell you kubeadm and to some other tools. And we are like, oh, so lucky. There are tools that are going to do this stuff for us. Okay, let's check the first one. You go to kubeadm, and we start reading. Using kubeadm, you can create a minimum viable Kubernetes clusters. And okay, so is MVP really the production cluster that I'm going to run? Well, probably no. Let's keep that tool. The second one, we look into KOps. Okay, let's go to the website of KOps. Let's do the same. Installing Kubernetes, getting started. And we start reading. Deploying to AWS, to GCP, DigitalOcean, yada, yada, yada. None of them is deploying to bare metal. Thank you very much. End of the story. Let's check the last one. Maybe that's our chance. So we go to the Kube Spray. It's a set of Ansibles. So another story, you know. But okay, someone gives us some method to deploy Kubernetes on bare metal. So we go, run Kube Spray playbooks. With the bare metal infrastructure deployed, Kube Spray can now install Kubernetes and set up the cluster. And you start reading those playbooks and you feel like, oh, this is so opinionated. So either I want to do my data, either I want to build my data center like they want me to build, or thank you very much, there is no tool. So let's agree that none of these three methods is for us. We need to do this stuff ourselves. So let's build the stuff, you know, brick by brick from the beginning. So what we need to care about a cluster, and not only during installation, but in general to have this cluster bootstrapped and then working. First of all is, of course, this is bare metal. At the end, you want to deploy this cluster because there will be some workload, right? You want to access this workload. As well, you want to access the API, right? Basic operations. You don't deploy the cluster for the sake of deploying it and running, consuming the energy. Then, of course, DNS infrastructure. You are deploying this in your data center, And then what? Are you going to give to your customers? And now, you know, type this IP address slash something, something to look at this fancy website or application that we deployed. No, you want to have it some very nice domain and, you know. But for that, again, DNS infrastructure, you need that. It doesn't come for free. The next step is we agreed that we are doing bare metal because we have some reason to do this, and it's not like we just don't like a simple VM from AWS, which means there will be some non-standard network configuration. Doesn't really matter if fancy or not. It will be something more than just, you know, plug the server, turn it on, because in most of the cases, people doing bare metal, they don't have DHCP in all the networks, or they need some storage network, and it all requires some fine tuning, which doesn't come from default when you boot your Linux distro, and some other dirty tricks that I'm going to tell you later, because it's Kubernetes specific, and I want to build my way up to this. So, cluster load balancer, because I told you that you need to have API and ingress to your workload and all this kind of stuff. The slide is overly complicated for two reasons. The first reason is because it is complicated. The other reason is because no one ever cared to make it less complicated. I know it sounds bad, but it is what it is. So the only thing I want to tell you is that, you know, we are in this story of building a cluster, installing it from scratch, which means we are starting bootstrap from somewhere. Like, you know, you may be running those kube, ADM, create, cluster, yada, yada, from this laptop, right? So this laptop will be your initial bootstrapping infrastructure. On the other hand, at the other side of this room, I have those three servers that are going to be masters. So this somehow has to ride all together. I need to have some IP address that will be this API finally when I spawn all those nodes in the cluster. So I need to have some virtual IP which will be pointing towards this API, right? This is what I'm calling API VIP. And it sounds complex, but at the end, it boils down to one sentence. When you start doing kubectl commands at the end, you need to target some IP address. If you are deploying bare metal infrastructure, you don't want to ever target specific node, because if this node goes down, all your tooling goes down. So you want to have some virtual IP, and you may have some load balancer from well-known companies as an appliance, or you may want to just do it yourself with KeepAliveD, so I will show this in a second. And in this slide, what is then the part? So at some point, we have deployed those control plane nodes, those worker nodes, and, you know, we have the API address, which should be now pointing only to the control plane nodes, not to your bootstrap, so this laptop, you know, It goes away from this story. But then you have some other IP address because you are deploying workload. You are not only an admin now. You really have something that runs, and your applications, you don't want to expose your control plane to anyone, right? Or do you? Well, you rather not. So you need another IP, and exactly the same story. Where do you take all those IP from, and who manages them? Yeah, you manage them. So what you are doing for this, and of course, I'm telling you about some very opinionated way of designing how to install Kubernetes cluster, and it's opinionated because we decided, so let's do KeepAliveD in the combination with HAProxy. And I told you the story why we need the VIP, so you should be already convinced that, you know, if we need that, then we pick KeepAliveD because it's very simple and it's proven in action. Why do we put HAProxy in this story also? And now it will be fast forward to some specific use cases and requirements that we got. Only thing to remember is that it won't be always the same stack for API and ingress, because your admin control, you know, as an administrator of the cluster, I have usually different requirements than the user, so different tools, different purposes. Because, you know, it's very easy to